James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
As our culture crumbles into insanity around us, is the church going to remain silent? More importantly, are you going to remain silent?
And here we are in a nation, in a world that is so confused now about truth. What is true? What is real?
We look inside the war on truth and give you tools to fight it on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Do you feel as though your faith and values are under siege in America? Everywhere we turn, it seems like even simple rationality is being upended, with our world looking and sounding more and more like we have gone through the looking glass. On today's program, you will see a powerful call from Dr. Kennedy to stand against the insanity. The battle against traditional morality, gender roles, and even history really comes down to one thing. At root, it's a war on truth. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb brings us this report.
Truth, a precious commodity. Could you imagine if a prominent college had the motto, Truth for Christ and the Church? Well, actually, there is such a school. It's called Harvard, and that was its original motto in Latin for almost its first 300 years, Truth for Christ and the Church.
Harvard was originally founded in 1636 for Christ's glory, in Christi Gloriam. And then later that kind of morphed into Veritas, truth, Christo et Ecclesiae, truth in Christ and the Church. And then eventually, 200 years later, just Veritas is what you see. You know, basically an unanchored sense of truth is what students are being offered. Radical subjectivity, emotion, very little logic and reasoning.
This is an example of the wider picture we have in our culture today, an assault on truth.
And here we are in a nation, in a world that is so confused now about truth. What is true? What is real?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
In today's milieu, we're often told, well, that's your truth, but my truth is different. How do we know what's true? Is there such a thing as truth?
We're in a fog of confusion in our century with so many different media mediating reality for us. What is immediate is my question. How would we know truth if we were in a dark fog, say a storm at night on a boat looking for true north? So what is that true north? How would we know? I think this is the cry of every heart. What is compelling to me is not my intelligence, which is quite slim, nor my virtue, but rather the self-revealing nature of truth. So Christians have come to believe, and most people throughout history came to believe in a truth who is self-revealing, God who reveals himself, who reveals reality, what is true.
Kelly Kohlberg, who attended Harvard, edited and co-authored a bestseller in the 1990s with the title, Finding God at Harvard.
How is truth knowable? Who am I? Is there a God? Why do we suffer? Questions, you know, why does beauty mean something? What is it to have a body? What about race and gender? All these important questions, and they're all found in in the scriptures that the essence, though, the founders of Harvard, the pilgrims who came 400 years ago, our forebears have known to where to look. And so we wanted to look kind of to the original sources again and say, what is truth? How would we know? And what kind of story are we living in?
As America jettisoned the truth of God's word and the Judeo-Christian roots that made this nation great, so we have descended into a society largely devoid of truth.
Now, we live in a world where everything is relative. Your right may be my wrong, and we're not supposed to have individual standards. But what we actually see from the collectivism that comes out of large government is, in fact, there is a right and there is a wrong, and typically it's a worldly right, not a godly right. If God says up, they say down. If God says no, they say yes, and vice versa. And this transcends the United States. This happens in every large government where they decide their God and they worship the creation instead of the Creator. They tend to focus on mixed up priorities. They don't focus on the care of people. They focus on the feelings of people.
America's fallen into a great moral decline, I think.
The conflict in today's culture is about truth.
People no longer believe in an absolute truth.
Where I go to find truth and information about what's going on in the world today is usually Google.
Further we get from truth, the more that people say, okay, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters.
Many Christian leaders disagree. There is truth, and it is knowable.
The statement truth is relative is in and of itself an absolute statement. So we know it's a contradiction for someone to believe that truth is relative.
One of the pitfalls of falling for the notion that all truth is relative, and so is all morality, is that you really can't condemn evil things. To be truly consistent, you couldn't even condemn the Nazi Holocaust. But we can't live like that.
You could take W. H. Auden, one of the great poets of the 20th century. He was an atheist and a left-wing radical and a homosexual. No one could have been less likely to look like a Christian. Came to New York in 1938 to get away from Europe and war-torn Europe. And he went into a cinema where he watched the documentary news of the SS stormtroopers bayoneting women and children in the siege of Poland. And he was appalled. And he sat there in the darkness, and in 2 minutes his whole worldview was overthrown. He said, first, I knew we were evil. I always thought, better politics, psychology, education, we could clear up this business of evil. He looked at it and said, I know evil is in all human hearts, including mine. But then, here's the signal of transcendence. He said, I knew Hitler was absolutely wrong, but I had no absolute to say so. I can't say he's relatively wrong. I'm a different culture, whatever. No, Hitler was absolutely wrong. But he said, all my life as an intellectual, I've been saying there were no absolutes. Everything's relative, like many people say today. He said, I left the cinema a seeker after an unconditional absolute, and met Jesus.
We urgently need a recovery of a Christian mind, of a Christian worldview. Christianity is first and foremost a personal relationship with Jesus. But it does have a worldview. It does have a philosophy. For instance, that worldview would say, for starters, there are some things that are always right, some things that are always wrong. There are some moral absolutes.
You know, I think that one of the most powerful speeches that I've been ever able to hear and to read was a speech that was delivered by a major religious figure about 15 years ago. And in this speech, he used the phrase, the dictatorship of moral relativism. And what he meant in that is that we are living in a time where we have large numbers of people who do not believe in objective truth. We have large numbers of people who, in my view, have a sense that the principles, that the morals, the virtues, which have always been the things animating what we have called the Judaic Christian tradition, perhaps are worn out. Maybe they're not as important as they should have been or were. And I think that this goes to the heart of the very deep spiritual division that we are experiencing. And I think it is only promoted, and I think it is only deepened in an era of social media.
I think once we have confidence in the Word of God and the truth that He's revealing, we begin to find our own story as well. And we begin to have proper confidence, how to act, how to speak. There's hope for the future because not only is there a true north, there's a true vine who never dies. And so once we're rooted again and abiding in the true vine of who God is and who Jesus is, the branches of culture will flourish again. The branches of our lives, you know, our life will flourish again. So go back, let's go back to the beginning, who God is and how much He loves us and how evident that is in the person of Jesus Christ and in the Word that He's given us.
As our second president, John Adams, once said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other, he said. Yet today, those advocating biblical truth and morality are canceled by the woke mob that has taken over the media, academia, and even government. If we do not resolve to face this battle now, our freedoms and even our nation will be lost. Dr. Kennedy sounds an urgent call to spiritual arms in this portion of his message, Will the Church Forget?
My question today is, will the church forget? We live in a time when truly the entire Western civilization is crumbling around us. Never in history has any nation so quickly abandoned both its religion and its moral principles, as has America, said one historian. And 300,000 pulpits are silent. We are literally seeing the end of Western civilization. If the church doesn't speak out, who will? We're growing a nation of pagans. The church has historically dealt with every kind of issue. This dichotomy of the sacred and the secular is utterly foreign to the Bible and to Christianity, but the secular world has foisted it upon us, and hundreds of thousands of pastors have accepted it as truth. There is no secular and sacred for a Christian. Everything is sacred. This is my Father's world. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about church or worship or prayer or money or finance or politics or art or science or entertainment or whatever. It is all part of God's world, and it all should be done to His glory. Recently, in a convention in a large room with people from all over the United States, the speaker asked this question. He said, do your pastors speak out on the great issues of our day? And hundreds of people from churches all over the country of various denominations, not one that I saw raised his hand. And I would like to turn from this congregation to do something I've never done before, and I would like to speak directly to the thousands of ministers who are watching me right now and say to you, brethren, gentlemen, God needs men who will speak out on the great issues of the day. Martin Luther said, though we be active in the battle, if we're not fighting where the battle is the hottest, we are traitors to the cause. God grant you courage. I've asked people, why do their pastors not speak out? The answer is always the same. They are afraid. Be not afraid. Christ is with you. And I believe your people will support you. Oh, that doesn't mean all of them. I will no doubt get a card or two from some of you complaining about this message. And I want you to know right now, I don't care a flip. The only thing your cards tell me is that you do not understand what the Word of God says. You don't understand what the Word of God is supposed to be accomplishing. You do not understand that you're not only to render unto God what is God's, but you're to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And you do not understand that our whole culture is going to hell in a handbasket, and most people in the churches are doing nothing about it, and most preachers are very guardedly saying nothing about it. God have mercy upon us. Does it make any difference? Well, how about Reverend Jonas Clark? You all remember Jonas Clark, don't you? You've forgotten old Jonas already. Alas and alack. And we owe so much to Jonas. If it weren't for Jonas, you wouldn't be here today. He was a pastor. He was a very influential pastor. He was truly a parson. Now, the word parson comes from the word person. He was the person in a little town called Lexington. And he was, as was the case so often then, one of the few people, or sometimes the only person, who had an education beyond high school. And therefore, he was the parson. He was the most influential man in town. Most of the people attended his church. One particular night, he was having dinner with some folks that you will remember, like John Hancock, Samuel Adams. It was a very distinctive night because it was the night when Paul Revere made his famous ride. And these two great patriots asked him the question. The question was, if war came, would the people of Lexington fight? And what did Jonas Clark say? Oh, my goodness gracious me, oh my. We've never talked about such things as fighting for our liberties. I don't know. I'd have to give this some consideration. That's not what he said. He said, when asked, would the people of Lexington fight? The Reverend Jonas Clark said, I have trained them for just that. And the next day, the shot heard round the world was fired in the parking lot of his church, only a few yards from his parsonage. And the people that were killed were members of his congregation. And Reverend Jonas Clark looked down with great anguish on the bodies of those who had died and made this statement, which we should never forget. From this day will be dated the liberty of the world. It began in a church. And it began with a parson who was not afraid to speak out on the great issues of freedom and liberty and oppression and tyranny. And so it was that he was a part of what is called the Black Regiment, because of the black robes that they wore, who preached resounding sermons that resonated throughout New England about the evils of tyranny and the importance of liberty, and set the stage for the liberty of America, which is a liberty which has indeed spread across the world to hundreds of other nations. This day, from this day, shall be dated the liberty of the world. He was not afraid to speak out.
This is one of the most powerful calls to action of Dr. Kennedy's entire ministry. The question is, will we heed it? Or will we slumber on, hoping that someone else will do the work of bolstering our foundations and securing our liberty? As we see everywhere around us, that approach is not going to work. Either you and I are going to stand, or our nation will be lost. I am determined to stand, and I hope you will stand with me. We have put together a compelling package of new resources that will encourage, equip, and enlighten you and your circle of influence as you stand with us. The first is my brand new book, The War on Truth, Biblical Light for the Battle of Our Time. In this book, which is just off the presses, John Rabe and I explore the most controversial cultural issues of today through a biblical lens. We equip you to see the false views propagated by the unbelieving world and to cogently and succinctly proclaim the truth. We will send you my new book, The War on Truth, as our thanks for your generous donation and much needed help, helping us proclaim truth and defending freedom across our great nation. In this book, we uncover the assault on free speech, the dangers of socialism, the confusion of the new gender ideology, and much, much more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a gift of $100 or more, we will send you the book plus the full booklet version of the Dr. Kennedy message you just heard a few minutes ago, Will the Church Forget? And in addition, we will include the brand new DVD program, Hope for the Future of Freedom. In this new DVD, we talk with some important American leaders about the dangers that are threatening our freedoms, and they show us a hopeful way forward. Among our guests on this DVD are former Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, socialism expert Dr. Paul Kengor from Grove City College, and Dr. Bob Woodson, civil rights veteran and the founder of the Woodson Center. That's my new book, The War on Truth, Biblical Light for the Battle of Our Time, as our thanks for your generous donation. And the book plus the sermon booklet, Will the Church Forget? And the new DVD, Hope for the Future of Freedom, all as our thanks for your much appreciated tax-deductible donation of $100 or more. Friends, we are ending our fiscal year on June 30th. It would be a great blessing if you will come alongside us to ensure that we finish the year in good financial position, ready to face the incredible challenges that lie before our nation. So please don't delay. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. A few months ago, this program was kicked off of a major cable television outlet, the Lifetime Channel, because we produced an episode investigating Planned Parenthood's ghoulish trafficking of baby body parts. Lifetime said that we could only remain on their network if we agreed to steer clear of all controversial issues, which, as it turned out, includes even the subject of George Washington's well-established Christian faith. The man who first documented Planned Parenthood's crimes, David Daleiden, was himself criminally prosecuted for recording the incriminating videos of Planned Parenthood officials, while they were left scot-free to continue their grisly trade. Daleiden was first prosecuted by California Attorney General Kamala Harris, now Vice President of the United States. That prosecution was continued by her successor, Javier Becerra, now President Biden's Secretary of Health and Human Services. We should mark this well. This is the astonishing reaction of a conscience-scarred nation to the exposure of its bloodthirsty crimes. The messenger is punished, whether through slipshod prosecution or through banishment from public forums. But friends, you can be certain of this. With God's help, it will not stop us. We will continue to stand for truth. Recently, Judicial Watch obtained hundreds of pages of documents from the Food and Drug Administration under the Freedom of Information Act. These documents show that the FDA spent tens of thousands of taxpayer dollars to procure human fetal tissue from a California firm. That firm works with Planned Parenthood, who harvests the organs of aborted babies to the tune of about $2,000 per baby. This firm had what it called a fees per services schedule, which shows different prices for a baby's brain, eyes, liver, and so on. Now I want you to stop and try to imagine the morally deluded consciences of those who would see the exposure of these horrendous acts as greater crimes than the acts themselves. Such people populate this current presidential administration. And we are not going to stop saying so. Whatever pressure they and their media accomplices try to push upon us, with God's help, and with your prayers and your support, we will continue to proclaim God's word in the face of such unvarnished evil. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us. Here's a look at the next truths that transform.
For many, many years, there were liberal biased and liberal professors on our college campuses, but you could still have a dialogue. In the 90s and the early 2000s, we got into political correctness, and today we see outright cancel culture.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.